Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Youpreneur Podcast. Before we get going with this episode of the show, however, I've got a very special announcement for you. This is your personal invitation to join me, my team, some very, very close influential friends of mine, and a host of other smart entrepreneurs at the inaugural Long Haul Leader Summit, which is taking place in the historic heart of Cambridge, England, on November the 16th and the 17th of 2024. You're going to be able to learn from the best in the business. You're going to be able to network with like-minded leaders and other entrepreneurs just like you that are on a similar journey to yourself. We've got some incredible masterminds planned. Lots of great strategies will be shared. And by the time we're all done together, you're going to walk away with a solid plan of action that you can follow through for the entirety of 2025. But here's the thing though. We've only got 100 exclusive spots available. So this is your chance to be part of an intimate group focused on sustainable success, avoiding burnout, and ultimately making a whole bunch of money in the process. So go ahead right now and visit longhaulleader.com. There's links in the show notes as well to secure your ticket to make sure that we're all hanging out with each other in November this year. That's longhaulleader.com. I'll see you there. Right, let's get on with the episode.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community, a place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Hey, what's up there, everybody, and welcome to episode number 182 of Youpreneur FM, the place to be if you are an entrepreneur that is wanting to build a successful, profitable, long-term business based around and all about your personal brand and those that you want to serve. I'm your host, Chris Ducker, and I want to applaud you for carving some time out of your day for being with me today here on the show. Got a great, great show lined up. It's a topic I've been wanting to deep dive into for quite some time. Very good friend and fellow youpreneur, Mike Morrison from the Membership Guys, is here to talk all about converting your business ideas and monetizing your experience via a membership site. Oh yes, we're talking recurring income here. It's going to be a great show. I know you're going to love it. Before I do that, however, I want to remind you very quickly, throughout the course of September, you can go ahead and get a taste of the Youpreneur community for 7 days for just $7. You'll get instant, full access to the entire community, all of our training library, all of our mastermind call archive, all of our forums, which is the guts, and you can post in there, you can converse with other youpreneurs, you can download everything you want to download and all the rest of it. 7-day trial for just $7 throughout the course of September. Once the month is done, the promo will be finished as well. So if you're interested, go check it out. All you got to do is visit youpreneur.com/7. So on to my chat with Mike. Again, this is a subject I've been wanting to deep dive for a while on. And Mike truly is the man when it comes to membership sites. In fact, he's the guy who actually helped me rebuild Youpreneur as a community in terms of the platform itself just a couple of months ago. And let me tell you something, he did an incredible, incredible job. We don't really talk about that so much on this call. However, we do really dive into all of the different aspects of starting and building and running a membership site. You know, this really is the holy grail of online business. We're talking, you know, dependable, recurring income on a monthly basis that you can almost predict. And that's something that every online entrepreneur obviously is going to be interested in. I know you're going to love this conversation between Mike and myself, and hopefully it'll spur you on to consider starting your own membership site at some point in the future as well. Here's myself and Mike. Enjoy the chat. So Mike, welcome to the show.
Chris, thanks so much for having me on. I am very, very excited to be on the show. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Well, I'm honored to have you, mate. I truly am. And for those of you tuning in who maybe don't know of the relationship that I have with Mike, actually, we became friends when he became a member of the Youpreneur community, as I do with everyone that becomes a member. We're instantly buddies. But Mike and I have actually forged quite a close friendship over the last year, and particularly over the last 6 months, have we been planning the relaunch of the Youpreneur community because, as one half of the membership guys, you are membership site expert, and you helped us rebuild Youpreneur and kind of like give it a new kind of lick of paint and all the rest of it. Want to talk about that today, but I also want to talk about sort of just the model of membership, the good, the bad, the ugly, the all-out gross, because I know you've got some quite strong opinions to what should be and should not be happening, which I love and I'm totally aligned with as well. And generally just kind of just discuss this topic as a whole, because for me as a personal brand entrepreneur and for those tuning into the show who are also personal brand entrepreneurs, at some point I feel like the focus and I guess kind of the aspiration of starting a membership site based around your brand is kind of almost like the natural conclusion, I think. You know, you'll do the digital products, you'll do the live events, you'll do the book, but then I kind of feel like it's that natural conclusion of that regular recurring income, right, Mike? I mean, let's kick off, you know, right away with the first question being, is it all about recurring income, or is there more attractiveness to this model?
There's a lot more than just the revenue side of things. So, you know, to begin with, when people would talk to me about the membership model and they'd ask me what I felt were the most appealing elements of it, I'd kind of leave the revenue till last. You know, we're British. It's almost impolite to chase money. It
right,
is.
Right.
You know, you have to.
Although we do love money, we do want to clarify that immediately.
Of course,
right?
We do. You know, we used to run this world, by the way, people. So you know.
There he goes. Within the first minute, boom. That's it. My 57% American audience are going to be like, go. No, you bloody don't, mate, right?
You know, there's still, I think that, you know, there is the element of we are entrepreneurial and all that sort of stuff. But I've heard you say this before, Chris, and I totally agree. The UK is probably about half a decade behind.
Yep.
In terms of that side of things, in terms of online business and so on, for the most part. So I used to kind of almost skirt around the financial side, but let's just get it out there. Recurring revenue and the income you can make from a membership is pretty awesome, purely for a money in the bank standpoint. But it's what recurring revenue enables you to do with your business, with your life. That is where the real power for me is. You know, I started out in self-employment as running my own digital agency. I was essentially a freelancer. So, you know, I left employment and very quickly assembled the constructs of employment around myself. Mm-hmm. And I replaced my crazy boss with a dozen crazy bosses with deadlines and insane demand.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, you fall in that time for money trap. And when you do that, you can't scale. You hit that ceiling of how much money you can make according to how many hours you have. And by putting yourself or making yourself subject to other people's requirements and other people's demands, you don't get to run the business you want on your terms. Mm. With a business based around recurring revenue, where you're on the one-to-many model, you get to set the terms. You get to decide what your product is, what your offering is. You get to actually tap into your full range of skills, knowledge, experience, and expertise and build your business around that rather than just selling what what people want. You get to sell what they need as well.
Yeah.
So the level of fulfillment that gives you, the level of satisfaction in your business, flexibility, freedom to go where you want, do what you want, work whenever you want, not waking up at 7 in the morning and panicking over checking those emails in case, you know, Linda from that florist in London's had another conniption again and decided that her world will fall apart if the font size on her website isn't 14 pixels instead of 13 pixels.
In the next hour.
In the next right. hour. I've had that email.
I could well believe
repeatedly.
It.
Repeatedly. Yeah. So it's not just about the actual money you make. It's about the way in which you're making that money, how your business changes and gets structured around this scalable model that is entirely run by your terms and isn't compromised by the need to satisfy clients or the fact that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what I love about it the most, above and beyond everything else, is that it's, I mean, as long as you're doing it right, it's always growing.
Yeah.
Right. It's, and you can almost, I mean, you can physically estimate exactly how much every month your business is going to grow, regardless of what that percentage may be.
Absolutely. I mean, the stability and predictability of that recurring revenue.
Yeah.
And the fact that if you're selling one-off products, if you're selling services and you have a bad month for sales this month, that can kill you. If you have two bad months, that could drive you out of business.
Yeah.
Genuinely. If you have a membership that is solid and you have a month where you don't attract any new members, you've still got that baseline of existing members who are dropping money into your bank account. Yes, the individual value or the individual lifetime value of each customer or member that you attract, it doesn't compare to the five-figure contracts you're going to get for this piece of coaching or consultancy. But again, you're minimizing the points of weakness in your business rather than having half a dozen sources of revenue where if one or two of them decide they no longer want to work with you, that majorly cripples you. If you've got hundreds of members, that's so solid that if you lose two or three in a month, it's not really going to impact your business in a major way. And even if, you know, sometimes you have memberships that go a little bit stagnant and the rot starts to kick in. But even then, you're not going to have those peaks and troughs where overnight your business suddenly becomes on red alert panic stations because you haven't made enough money this month.
Yeah.
You know, if your membership does start going downhill, you will typically have more than enough time to turn it around. Unless you come on a podcast and manage to offend 60% of your audience by talking about British rule, then
then basically you're done. It's time to throw the towel. Oh, dude, I'm not editing out. It's not going to be edited out. Okay. So let me ask you this. Okay, so basically we love memberships. It's great. The predictability, I think, from an entrepreneurial perspective in terms of income is without a doubt, you know, right up there in terms of, you know, the top reasons as to why you want to look at this. For me personally, the reason why I began Youpreneur was because even though I had a good subscriber list, even though I had tens of thousands of people following me on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, for me, I genuinely wanted my tribe. That was what it was. And there's something to be said, and we've talked about it on the show, and you and I have had private discussions about this. You've got to be seen to sell to get the right people through the door. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, I could start a free Facebook group, and I'd create a tribe, but how engaged are they going to be? How bought in are they going to be, right? And when you have that membership built in, I mean, the tribe inside a Youpreneur is like a family. It's literally, it's as close to a digital family as I've seen anywhere online, quite frankly, if not more, because we also do a lot of in-person meetups and stuff as well, as you well know.
It is. And I think, you know, when you talk about setting up a membership as someone who is very invested in developing their personal brand, developing your personal brand involves assembling your tribe. It is really largely centered around catering to and reaching the people who most resonate with you, who are most similar to you, who you want to serve. So you're doing that anyway. That's what a membership's about. It's about assembling a tribe and giving them something to develop them, something that helps them achieve their goals, something that helps them along their journey. So, you know, a lot of people will invest time in developing their brand, in building their social media profile, in getting all the likes under the sun on Facebook, but they never go that one step further. And this is where I've cribbed this so many times. I always credit you, promise, with that saying of you need to be seen to sell. At some point, you need to turn those Twitter followers, those Facebook group members, those Facebook fans, those email subscribers in particular, into something that is monetized.
Yes.
And I think people fear that because
yes.
there's this whole product of authenticity. You know, authenticity is no longer a word. It's a product. It's a brand attribute.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to be authentic today. And I think some people confuse authenticity with never asking for a single dollar for anything.
Yeah.
And whether that's just because they haven't landed on something to actually sell to their tribe, or whether it is genuinely that feeling that part of assembling an audience and part of building a following involves never asking them for money.
Yeah, and look, my take on it is that, like, you can't call yourself an entrepreneur unless you're making bloody money.
Exactly.
You can call yourself a blogger or a podcaster or a video marketer if you want, but unless you're actually, or a vlogger, not even a video marketer for that matter, I detract my last statement, Your Honor. I mean, you know, like literally, unless you're making money out of what you're doing, you're not an entrepreneur. You're not building a business. You can build a brand for sure, but you can't call yourself a personal brand business owner, which is a term that I coined and use all the time. Like, if you're a personal brand entrepreneur, a personal brand business owner, you got to make money. You've got to monetize it.
And you know what? You are doing a disservice to your tribe if you don't. Because if you don't make money, and you run yourself into the ground. I mean, listen, you can have all the Twitter fans that you want. Find me a bank that will accept Twitter followers as mortgage
to pay
payments,
your bills.
And that's fine. You know, you can have all of that, all of those vanity metrics, all the traffic to your website, but if you're not monetizing, you're going to go out of business. You are going to need to go back into employment. You're going to need to find something else to do. So, in effect, if you run yourself into that hole, you've spent all that time assembling a crowd. Come on, guys, come over here. I've got important stuff to say. They get up out their seats. They come to you. They stand around. And then you have to disappear off to actually make some money elsewhere.
It's the worst.
You know, so you're wasting the time of your tribe if you are if you're not making money because you're reducing how long you can be there delivering value to those people. And then if you just disappear off, you're kind of leaving them in the lurch. So you owe it to your tribe to actually be able to monetize what you're doing so that you can be there for longer, so that you can prioritize delivering the value to them that attracted them to you in the first place.
I love this.
And I think, I don't know if it is, again, just, you know, entrepreneurialism.
There you go. You got it out. Good job.
There we go. I don't know if that's seen by some people as a dirty thing. And again, whether they think that that's counter to building a personal brand. But for as long as there are people out there who are scared to monetize, the people who are being seen to sell are going to have that competitive edge.
Oh, without a doubt. Okay. So we love memberships. We love money. I kind of feel, let's try and keep it with the M's if we can. We love Mike. I feel like we're kind of reverse engineering this somewhat to a little bit. So let's continue going back a little bit and then we'll kind of jump forward a bit, I think. So we love memberships. We love money. We've got no problems monetizing. We like the idea of monetizing with a membership site. What do we need to do to get to that point, Mike? I feel like I was a little bit of a hop and a skip above or ahead, rather, the majority of people that I come into contact with as members of Youpreneur in terms of where their brands currently are when they join. I feel like, you know, where I was with my brand when I launched Youpreneur, the majority of our members will be there, if they work hard, 12 to 18 months from now. But if they don't work hard, it could take substantially longer than that. Or if they really hustle, they might be able to do it under 12 months. So where's the step before, yes, this is what I want to do? Where should they be, do you think, as a personal brand
entrepreneur before they hit that membership button?
I think the first thing to do is, and this doesn't just apply to memberships, it applies to everything, is to redefine what you do, what you are in terms of your relationship with your tribe. You're not a blogger, you're not a vlogger, you're not a personal brand specialist, you're not a web developer, coach or anything, you're a problem solver.
Mm.
That's all you do, that's all I do. We solve problems for people and we solve them in a way that gets us paid.
Yes, I've said it 100 times myself, yeah.
Yeah, so start with that.
Right, and there's the thing, it's not rocket science. Everybody knows this, but I think a lot of people have forgotten it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So you need to understand what problems are out there for which you can provide a solution that has enough value to someone that they will put their hands in their pocket every month and pay you X amount for that.
Okay.
So that's your starting point. And that's your starting point, whether you're a coach, whether you're providing one-on-one services, whether you're doing small group coaching, mastermind groups, anything like that. So start with that, and that's where the ideas are going to come from. That's where you're going to be able to identify opportunities for building out a membership. And you know, having that audience and having a pre-existing following and building up that tribe beforehand certainly makes that a lot easier.
Agreed.
You can shortcut it if you want by, you know, if you are in a position where maybe you don't have your own following or audience, but you have a very strong network that allows you to tap into other people's audiences in order to really kind of build that picture of what people need and what you can provide to people. But at some point, other people's audiences need to become your audience.
Mm.
You know, otherwise, you're going to be renting eyeballs from your friends.
Let me ask you this. I mean, and yes, you're 100% correct. That's a possibility. I personally prefer the slightly longer route. I think it will pay more dividends over a longer period of time. But let me ask you this. We all know the importance of validating our ideas. And, you know, particularly on courses and, you know, where there's a lot of work involved, some people think the running a membership or a community
is easy, isn't it, Chris? It's easy.
It's the easiest thing I've done in my 12 years as an entrepreneur, said absolutely no one ever, right? I think that, you know, validation for me with Youpreneur was a two-stage process, whereas with a course, I would have just validated the course idea. And then maybe some of the modules within the course and kind of then got to work and put it out there, right? But with Youpreneur, we actually went through two validation periods. Number one, before we launched, when we were validating a lot of things, and I talked about this on the show actually before, where we were validating a lot of things live on Periscope. So the stuff that you see on the landing page, for instance, our number one tagline that we use all the time, the entrepreneurial community where nobody gets left behind, that right there was tried and tested all over Periscope with hearts and comments and you name it. And that's why it's right at the top of the landing page. It just works great. People love it. But there was other stuff that I was putting on those live Periscope sessions that kind of like, you know, there was crickets. So we just didn't include them. But then 3, 4, 5 months after launching Youpreneur, we have to revalidate again. Where are we right now? What are we doing marketing-wise? Where is our churn rate? And we'll talk about churn rate in a minute. I think it's something that a lot of people glaze over when it comes to this subject. I want to deep dive on it with you. But so we revalidated exactly where we were. And we realized, you know what? We don't want to be a community about just online business. We want to build a community based around that personal brand entrepreneur that I feel like I can really align myself to properly. And so we kind of retweaked things and readjusted and pivoted to a certain degree. I'm curious, when you were setting up the membership site Academy, what were you doing to validate that idea?
Well, we kind of, our audience validated it for us.
Nice.
Essentially.
Love that.
Because they were asking for it.
Okay, good.
That sounds
quite
sinister. They were asking for it.
They were asking for it.
Yeah.
And we gave it, right?
Exactly. Callie and I were working in private consultation with a select number of clients and having a lot of success and a lot of fun doing that, but it was all one-on-one stuff. And we just found ourselves increasingly getting emails in from our audience from people who have been recommended to us or people who found our website, where essentially they were in essence saying, I can't necessarily afford to hire you guys to help me map out the strategy and do all this stuff one-on-one. Can you send us to like a blog? Or is there a course or is there a resource you'd recommend? And, you know, we had our kind of stock blanket replies where we almost kind of fobbed them off a little bit. But then we kind of thought, you know what, we're getting enough of this stuff. Let's see if there's anything out there so we can at least be helpful to these guys and direct them to a website, a course or what have you. And there was nothing. There was some stuff, but it was like, you know, late 90s, real heavy sleaze, snake oil nonsense.
Right.
And, you know, I couldn't in good conscience recommend people go off to see that. So we actually hunted. We dedicated quite a bit of time to finding some sort of resource that would actually help someone from that chrysalis of an idea all the way through to launching, growing, and beyond. And what we tend to find is, you know, maybe someone who has a blog about blogging, or, you know, just a general online business podcast or something like that, they would do two or three episodes, two or three articles, maybe a mini series on memberships, and then they'd move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
No one was deep diving in this stuff. No one was really focusing on this stuff. So we kind of thought, you know what, let's serve this audience. The tribe is kind of coming to us. We occupied quite a unique niche of only working with membership sites on the consultancy side and the development side. So let's take it further. Let's start blogging. Let's start a podcast. Let's start up our free Facebook group. Bring these people together, get to know them a bit more, get to listen to what they're saying, see what questions they're asking, identify the range of problems, and then see how we can solve them. So we kind of had that pre-validation. We did a few other things. We did like email challenges, for example, if we put out a 30-day course.
But here, let me ask you this real quick as I interject. When you started the blogging and the podcasting, did you know you were going to open up a membership for this?
We did.
Like you knew out the gate, right?
Okay. We knew that you can't put your flag in the sand as a membership site expert and not have a membership site.
Right.
You literally can't, in my view. And I'm sure people may disagree with that. And, you know, it's...
it's like me doing Youpreneur and not having my own personal brand built out. It just wouldn't work. Yeah.
Exactly. You need to walk the walk. And there's a lot of people who are very good at talking the talk, but they've never laced up their shoes in their life. So,
yeah.
It was important for us, if we are trying to educate people about memberships through our free content, that we had to have one of our own. It's one thing being involved in other people's memberships, and we've been involved in some very successful memberships that have been very satisfying for us to be a part of and have been amazing for us to witness, but it's not the same. It's not the same as running your own membership.
Yep.
And we kind of knew that doing that would give us an edge, because not only can we talk about the theory and talk about the strategy and stuff like that, which we've seen in practice out there in the wild in different markets and niches, you can't go into too much detail on that in terms of giving figures and revenue.
No, yeah.
Because it's other people's businesses. You don't want to give away all the secret sauce if you've just sold that secret sauce recipe to someone else. So having our own membership gives us that dual purpose of not only being the platform to educate people through, but also being a living case study. And that's probably one of the most popular things that we cover within our own membership, is when we talk about stuff that's worked for us, stuff that hasn't, and we are beyond transparent with that stuff. So, you know, for us, we did know that what was coming. We took a little bit longer to get moving on that because, procrastination, client stuff coming up.
And let's not beat around the bush here. You were doing very well, the two of you, as consultants, making good money, had good clients, didn't necessarily want to leave them to a certain degree. You were enjoying working with them. So, like, I can understand dragging your heels a little bit with that, totally. But for the record, you have now totally broken away.
We have.
And you're doing your thing. And this is it now, right? The membership that guys and the Membership Side Academy, this is it.
Yeah, that's it. That was our goal. Again, you know, some people will run memberships where they're only ever going to be a small element of their business. Some will run them where they maybe have a whole range of different offerings and products and services, and the membership's at the heart of it. Others, like us, they want to replace their service-based stuff or what they're doing now with their membership. And that was always our goal for the first year. And we managed to achieve it faster than we thought we, or faster than we'd anticipated or hoped, which is great. And it's a total lifestyle change, complete lifestyle change. You know, again, from the anxiety of checking the morning emails through to being able to just literally sit in a cafe or by a pool with your phone and running your business and being productive.
So good.
In your,
yeah. I love it. Cool. I love it too. Let me ask you this. Validation, the one side, obviously, you launched through the process, and I said we were going to touch on this, and I want to do it right now. Through the process of being in the business for as long as you have, working with consultant clients, you've seen a lot of these snake oil membership site owners before, where they're selling the dream and they're sitting on top of their Ferrari, which they probably rented for a couple of grand that day, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, where are these guys going wrong? And how are you doing it right? Should we be doing it right?
Those guys have picked the wrong model. The membership model is not a one where you can't hide. There's nowhere to hide with a membership. If you invite a bunch of people around your house and you nick somebody's wallet, you steal someone's wallet on the way in, they're in your house. They're going to realize their wallet's gone, and pretty soon they're going to figure out it was you who took it.
Right.
So for the snake oil element online, the membership model, you're really kind of stitching yourself up.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things about it, that forced transparency. You can't get away with misleading or mis-selling people to get into your membership because they'll figure you out. Instead, you have to deliver on what you're promising people. And that forced transparency levels the playing field so that actual quality stands out ahead of people who just so happen to have good sales pattern or, you know, a particularly effective funnel or, you know, great Facebook advertisers.
Agreed 100%. And I also think that the average consumer online that's buying info products now and that is buying memberships and access and, you know, all those kind of loyalty programs, stuff like that, I think the average consumer is a lot smarter today than what they were 5, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And it's like, whenever I hear anybody say, I've been on the internet 16 years, I instantly put a guard up because I know what you were doing 16 years ago, matey, to make money online. You know what I mean?
You know what? I actually have been on the internet for 16 years. My problem was I was quite young.
Okay.
I was quite young when I first got hooked on the internet, and it took me longer than it should have done, I think. But this is probably a positive. It took me longer than it should have done to realize people were making money online.
Right.
So I was fortunate not to get sucked in very early into the shady practices. And don't get me wrong, you know, we all did a little bit of AdSense arbitrage back in the day when, you know, that was all the rage. But in terms of actually like ripping people off and stuff, it's amazing. I think there's a very small amount of people who manage to have longevity despite some cataclysmic sleaziness that has kind of surfaced, and then they almost go away and then come back and go away and come back. So it's surprising how many people manage to stay despite being a bit dodgy. But for the most part, it's funny in seeing people who maybe had a less than crystal white or perfect beginning in terms of online marketing have actually come good. You know, people who were really heavy, hardcore into internet marketing strategies that maybe kind of skirted the line a little bit, they're now almost like going legit. So I think you're absolutely right. People are smarter. They're more savvy. They have the platform, thanks to the rise of social media, they have the platform to actually make a lot of noise when they realize that someone has been a little bit shady and a bit dodgy. So thankfully, there are less corners for those bad elements to hide in. Doesn't mean they're not still out there.
Right.
But again, in terms of business models, membership sites are so clean, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that if the right people are doing those things the right way, then the few bad apples that just happen to still be around aren't going to be found as easily as they were 10 years ago through AdSense or anything else for that matter.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about membership sites, we've talked about money, we've talked about validation, we've talked about snake oil salesmen. Good God, bloody good conversation so far. let's talk about content, I think, because the big thing, I mean, this, when we talk about, I was going to say, like, when we talk about the heart and soul of a membership. So, oh, that's good. There's the title of this episode
there
right
there.
Okay. See how easy it just happens? Okay. So when we talk about the heart and the soul of a membership site, the heart, I feel, is the community side of it. The soul is the stuff, like, you don't want to sell your soul just to get people through the door. Like, you got to create great content as part of that community, right? Or as part of that membership. So what do we do with our content? I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. You and I are both, as membership site owners ourselves, delivering content on a monthly basis. Every month, something new is coming out. There are some people that don't do that. There are some people that just have a library. They never add to it, but there's also then that maybe the forum aspect to it. There's a hybrid of both. What's your take on content? How, I mean, obviously we know it's important, but like, how do we do content right? And also, how do we do it without burning ourselves out? Because I think that's a big aspect.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that last part, because that is probably at the center of deciding or figuring out what content to actually put out.
Yes.
Is making sure you don't put so much pressure on yourself to just deliver content in terms of quantity. You know, if you're putting out courses every month purely to satisfy the need to put out a course every month and not because it's the best way to serve your audience, and as a result of that, you're burning yourself out. Again, you're doing a disservice to your members, because if you burn yourself out, you're going to become jaded. You're going to become less invested in actually producing quality. And you just become a by-the-numbers membership, where as long as you get to check off the boxes of, well, we satisfied the base minimum requirement of putting out a course every single week, so our job's done.
Yeah.
The soul, and you mentioned there, the soul then goes out of your membership.
Yeah.
It all comes back to that notion of being problem solvers. And so that's where you start off with when thinking about your content. For some people, solving those problems, getting people to where they want to get to, you know, members join your site because they've got a goal, they've got an outcome they want, they've got a transformation they want, they've got positive effects they want to achieve. So everything you do need to be in service of that. For some people, that's going to mean one big epic course that is static, that never changes, and then just has a community element on the back end for you to hang around. And if that's the right fit and if that's the right way to serve your audience, and you're only going to know that through talking to your audience, through knowing them, through understanding their problems, through, you know, understanding your topic. So if that's the right fit, that's
so
the right way to go about it. Yeah. For others, it will be literally, you know, you can have a knitting-based membership site. And I use this example so much almost as a throwaway, completely random example of a small membership niche you could have. But then we both know Joel Millman, who is a youpreneur. She just won like podcast, world's best podcast for a knitting podcast.
Yeah.
So
maybe
I don't use that as such a throwaway niche. You might have a knitting website where literally all you're doing is once a week releasing a knitting pattern, or maybe a food website where you're releasing a recipe. It's not high impact content,
but it's not super sexy. But if you're solving that problem, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What is the primary problem someone has? And usually you do need to dig beneath the surface to actually find out what that is. People will tell you, okay, I want to make more money. Well, why do you want to make more money? Do you just want to see a bigger number in your bank account? Or is there an effect of making more money that you're trying to achieve? So you need to dig a few layers down into the problems people will tell you they have to really understand them. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're working on your personal brand, you'll know this stuff already because chances are you've been where your tribe have been.
Oh, yeah.
So you can look inwards and look at what, you know, what problems did I have when I was where they were? How can I solve them? What would have really helped and benefited me? So that's kind of where you need to come from in terms of the actual content you create. There needs to be ongoing content. If you're billing people on a recurring basis, you need to deliver value on a recurring basis. If you don't, your members will stop paying.
Yeah.
You know, plain and simple. So figuring out what that is, how often that is, looking at things like how often do you release content, that needs to be something that works for you as well as for your members.
Yep. And we made tweaks, as you well know. You know, when we launched, I'd be the first, but I was overextending myself, plain and simple. And it didn't take me long. It took me like 6 weeks to figure that out. And we had already stockpiled a certain amount of content before we even launched. And I already felt like, oh my gosh, this is going to hurt me 3 months from now if I don't make changes. Yeah. And we made those changes.
And that's the thing, you know, the membership you set up today, the membership you launch will not be the same membership you're running in 6 months' time.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, and that's the best thing. If you're selling a course, if you're selling a bit of software, if you're selling an ebook or whatever, you're selling a finished product. With a membership, it's never finished. You're constantly going to evolve it. You're constantly going to adapt. The stuff you think is going to work like gangbusters will fall on its backside. The stuff that you kind of just cobble together because you've had a busy week and you haven't had a chance to put together this awesome course, that's going to turn out to be the most popular stuff. You know, so when you're launching your membership, it's important to not overthink and not spend too much time trying to figure out what's the precise balance of content I need to solve these problems to 100% efficiency. Your members will tell you that. You'll figure that out. You'll find your way and your membership will change and adapt. But again, what we like to recommend for ourselves, for our clients, you follow this model, we follow this model. It's a great way of delivering a lot of value. It's having multiple streams of content.
Mm-hmm.
And remembering content doesn't mean courses that you've created up front. It doesn't all have to be front-loaded content where you've put in the effort. You know, you want to mix that stuff in with real-time content creation through live training, Q&A calls, office hour calls. People love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be one of your streams. Should be maybe a monthly or a fortnightly member get-together Q&A call. So that's one stream. Stream number two could be a mini course. It could be a 60-minute workshop or a 90-minute mini course on a very specific topic. So that's two different streams of content that are going to appeal to two different people. Your third stream could be perks or discounts that you've negotiated with vendors who are selling stuff that your members need. So that's not anything you need to create.
No.
That's just something you need to go out there and hustle and score perks for people. But that's going to provide value to a different segment of your audience, because if you can give people perks and savings on stuff that helps them save money to an amount that's more than they pay for you, it's a no-brainer. They're never going to leave you if they're actually making money, essentially, from being a part of your membership. You know. And then your fourth stream could be worksheets or checklists or some of the, you know, smaller, easily consumable piece of content. But that gives you four streams. You can release one type of content every single week. If you want a lighter production schedule, you release one every 2 weeks.
Yep.
You can even release one once a month. But making sure you mix things up and you find different ways of providing value to different elements of your audience, that's a good approach if you don't already have in your head nailed down the way that you want to actually serve.
Agreed. And I think that the big thing for us when we were planning Youpreneur, and we did it right out the gate, and we continue to do it, and we will continue to do it. And anybody that knows, you know, knows me knows that I'm a big fan of batching in terms of a productivity angle. And that is that we batch as much of our content together for Youpreneur as we possibly can. Perfect example, two cases in points. I'll stick them right up there. Our process blueprint documents. So these are, you know, these are infographics on steroids is how I kind of describe them. And, you know, at any one time, there's two or three in the works, but we only publish one a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have like three done, ready to go over the next 3 months. I don't have to worry about it now. So we're always batching that side of things. The other one that I want to mention real quick is the expert chit chat videos that we do. So every month we launch a new expert chit chat where we'll sit down with one world class leader in their niche and talk about, you know, what they focus on and how they can help personal brand entrepreneurs. We've had guys like Amy Porterfield, Gary Vaynerchuk, and these are exclusive. They're nowhere else. They're just inside, you know, the membership itself. But again, you know, I'll shoot these. I mean, I live in the Philippines, for Christ's sake. So, I mean, I'll shoot four of these in one day at a conference in San Diego, which I just did. And now I'm good for 4 months.
Yeah.
And then I travel again. I'll shoot another. I actually have 10 planned for the beginning of October when I'm traveling around the United States, shooting 10 of them. That's almost the whole of 2017 in the bag already for this piece of content. So it's the way you do it, the smart way to do it. You work hard, like super hard in short bursts, and then you can really take your foot off the gas. I love that.
Yeah, and that's, again, this comes back to finding the approach to content that fits you as well as fitting your members. And actually, possibly even more important that it fits you, because your membership is going to have you as its linchpin in most cases. That's not going to be true of every type of membership site, but for personal brand centered entrepreneurs, then you are going to be the linchpin. Yeah. So you kind of need to be a factor in all of the content, even if it is just, you know, the endorsement from having your picture or your name alongside, or the endorsement from people knowing that the process blueprints, for example, are something that are derived from how you run your business.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
So, you know, you being present in all your content doesn't mean you need to be on screen, but you certainly, your effect needs to be felt. So finding something that fits you. So for you in particular, you're going to these events anyway, you know, maybe, and, you know, and you're going as a speaker, so it's not even as though you're using the creation of these of the expert chit chats as a reason to go
to
over
actually be
or
there.
An additional reason. You're there anyway as part of your business. So you've found the absolute best way to leverage the fact you're at these events. These experts are there, so you don't need to pay them to come in to see you. These guys are there already. Probably on someone else's dime as well. So
why
easy
not?
Done.
Exactly.
You know, you grab yourself a room for a day, and if you create a year's worth of content that features people that are of the caliber that you have in those expert chit chats, then that's a no-brainer. And that's the perfect example of creating something to fit you. Other people's circumstances will be different. They're not going to have the sort of opportunity necessarily to do what you're doing, but that's not to say they can't do it on a smaller scale, on a more local scale. It's not to say they can't look at what they're doing day to day in their business anyway and try to extract opportunities that are going to help them to batch content or help them to create content.
Exactly. So,
finding the way that fits you is key, I think.
But also, you know this yourself because you've consumed enough of the content yourself. I might be looking at content that best fits me, my style, and what I can handle, but I'm always focused on delivering that content for the people that I'm serving.
Yeah.
And there's no one that can say anything against that statement at all, because I know how much effort I put into the content that I create, even if I'm sitting down chatting with somebody like Gary, because Gary particularly, and he's been on the show a whole bunch of times, and we've become friends, and he's like, I still can't rein the guy in. You know what I mean? Like I can see when he's going off on a tangent and I have to just let him go. And then I'll bring it back round to the whole kind of personal brand angle. So, okay, here's something, two more things I want to talk about. The first thing is, access, particularly personal brand entrepreneurs. We know we are the linchpin. We are the catalyst for this. How the hell do we control how much access we give to ourselves, to our members, particularly when we're growing a popular membership where you've got, you know, you've gone past your first 100 members. Now there's 250. Now there's 350. Yeah. Now there's 500. Now there's 1,000. How do you do that? I know what I've had to do over the last 6 months, and I've had to do a lot of things that I didn't necessarily want to do, but I've had to do it. And maybe I can talk about that in another show. I don't want to delve into it now. But I'm curious as to how you do it and what you suggest other people do in regards to that.
It's such a great question because particularly, like you said, for these type of memberships built around the personal brand, for a lot of people, they will be joining so they can swim in the same pool as you. You know, they are joining to get close to you and they're going to want a piece of you. So again, it really comes down to remembering that a membership is something that you run on your terms. You get to set the terms. You get to set the pace. So if you don't want to be fielding member emails throughout the day, don't. Mm. Don't be scared to actually reply and say, this isn't something I'm able to deep dive into with you. However, and then redirect them. If you ask this question in this section of the forum, if you submit this question for the mastermind, if you submit something in the feedback section, then myself or other members of the community, and that's a key part,
yes,
or other members of the community will be able to help you. It's really, it comes down to you standing firm and setting the boundaries. So there's certain things you can do in order to channel the requests for access to you. You know, if again, I think some people are scared to kind of have open channels of communication. The crazy thing that we found in our site and in a lot of other sites is the more open your channels of communication are, the less likely people are to actually take advantage of them.
Yes, yes.
Because they know they don't have to desperately try and get you to answer their question because you're in the community daily. So the easiest way to get your attention is to post where you're going to be and to ask the question through the mastermind calls where they know they're going to have your attention.
Yes.
So you can channel this stuff and set boundaries around certain things. So if you get a lot of people asking for your feedback on something, then create as a feature of your membership a channel for them to get feedback. One of our most successful clients runs a music education website, and he's got 15,000 members. And this is a guy, when he first started out, people would send him videos of them playing and he'd record a video and send it back. This was how he built his tribe in the early days. 15,000 members, you can't do that anymore.
No.
So what he does now is he has Feedback Fridays, where all throughout the week, people can post in a forum thread videos of them playing bass guitar. And then in one shot, he records a video where he gives 2 to 3 minutes of feedback on each of the videos he's watched in that thread. And that's that personal access, that's that direct feedback, but it's in a lot more manageable way. It's a lot more controlled. Yes, he still needs to show up and do the video once a week.
Right.
But it's a lot less workload for him.
Well, not just that, but there'll be a certain amount of those videos that are submitted, those questions that are asked. There's going to be crossover there. I mean, yeah. I see it myself inside of Upreneur with the questions that I filled inside of there as well. That, you know, I'll be, in fact, actually, even on the live mastermind calls, I'll be in the middle of answering a question.
Yeah.
And I'll see a question pop up. And then, you know, I go off on a tangent. And then the same person will reply again and say, okay, never mind, you just answered my question. You know what I mean? So it does work.
That's the thing. And because, you know, when you have the community element as well, and this is why I advocate for forums over Facebook groups, because you have that permanency of the content. If someone, if the same question's coming up over and over again, you get to a point where you've already had those discussions.
Yes.
And you can just direct people to them. So it really does just come down to standing firm, setting boundaries on personal direct access to you. Maybe you actually create a product or an offering centered around that. You know, you can upsell, you could have an exclusive mastermind, and maybe you do small group coaching, but you set what the boundaries are, you direct and you channel those requests for access. The main thing though is not to go in the other direction and fall into the mindset that in order to preserve your expert status, you should remain elusive and aloof and at a distance from your membership. you need to show up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say how I normally say it because I don't want to swear on your podcast, but you need to show up and give a damn.
Yes.
So
give a damn. That was very British of you, Mike.
Give a damn.
I love it. Okay. So show up and give a damn. I like that. That could be a title of a great podcast or blog post as well. Last question then. I don't want to go down too much a rabbit hole here. I mean, this could literally be another episode, but launches, okay? Or let's just say sales, marketing in general. Do we open and close the doors on a regular basis, creating that scarcity model? Or do we...
You know what I'm going to say it.
I know. I can feel the smile beaming down. Or do we keep the doors open and work hard at getting the word out there on a regular basis?
You know what? I normally really go off on why I don't like open close launches. I'll restrain myself slightly to say that
it's another show.
Yeah, they work. For some models, they work for some memberships. And as a marketing tactic, they work in most cases.
Yes, of course.
You know, if you bring scarcity into the equation, that's always going to help your sales. I'm very much of the mindset that your membership should exist to serve your members more than it just exists to serve you. And by serving your members, you end up serving yourself anyway. So the whole notion of open close, if it's the right or if it's the best way to solve your members' problems. So maybe you have a particular program or a particular series of content that you know you need to take people through one step at a time. You need to provide direct support, group coaching along the way. And the best way of solving the problem is by making sure your members are 110% focused on what you want them to be focused on at a particular time. Mm. Then open and closing and having actual enrollment and having a curriculum and a schedule to follow, that can work like gangbusters.
Sure.
I've seen that work very, very well. And again, that's done in the service of solving your members' problem. What I don't like is the whole open close scarcity done as a sales and marketing tactic. If it's a content delivery tactic, great. If it's a sales and marketing tactic, I care more about how I make money than how much money I make. And so I know that we could open and close our membership. And I know that we probably get those nice big spikes of income. But I also know that it would screw with the community dynamic because you go from having no new members coming in, no fresh blood, to having an influx. And I've been in memberships that do that. I've been prolific memberships that do that. And their community is shot to hell. Mm. And all you get is just spikes of people saying hello. And nothing, or very few people go beyond the first two or three posts because it's not a community anymore.
Yeah.
It's just this weird cycle of people coming in, realizing that it's a ghost town because engagement has been killed over the past quarter or 6 months.
How does that affect money though? Right? So I mean, like, I'm just curious to know, based on your experience.
Pure money. We've done this. And this isn't done. I don't run from a position of ignorance having not tested this. We've tested this with seven-figure memberships. We've closed it and we've had it open perpetually. And we've split tested those at the same time to make sure there's no other elements. And yes, the cash injection from opening is lovely. It's nice. It's nice looking at your sales for that month and it being six or seven figures.
Sure.
But actually, when it all shook out, when we've tested it, the amount of income made over the period of being open for 3 months versus being closed for 3 months and opening for 2 weeks, it's the same.
Hmm.
It's exactly the same.
There you go.
I think there was a little edge on the open close.
Yeah.
But if you value your community, And
you want it to be a real
community. And as well, there's costs involved when you're doing these launches. If you want to be constantly launching something, go set up a course.
Yeah.
You know, memberships. I don't know about you, Chris. If I want to solve my problem, and this has kind of been the theme, I think, problem solving through membership. If I want to solve my problem, today, and I find the perfect solution for it. But for some completely arbitrary reason, purely because someone has considered this a better marketing tactic, I'm told, come back in 3 months' time. Listen, I'm impatient. I'm not going to wait 3 months. My problem's here today. I'm going to go find someone else to solve this for me. I'm going to find the membership that's open. If you're hungry and you go to your favorite restaurant, it's got an amazing menu, but it's only open on weekends. Are you going to sit outside with a hungry tummy? Wait, that sounds so, a hungry tummy. Are you going to sit outside like starving?
Yes.
Waiting for these guys to open the doors. Or are you going to go down the street and grab something else to buy? Yeah. And quite possibly find somewhere better. So open and closing, no doubt it's a valid tactic. I don't personally like it because having tested it and seen that the results
they
aren't significant enough. The effect that it can have on communities, if you're just doing it as a sales or a marketing tactic, it's not for me personally. That's, you know, I'm sure people will advocate for it just as strongly as I advocate against it. If it's not the best way to serve your members, if it's not the best way to serve your community, then it's not the best way to run your membership. And actually, again, recurring revenue, you sacrifice that. You know, build your membership over time. Recognize you need patience. It's a long game. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And part of that is accepting that, yes, you're not going to have the massive spikes in revenue that come from launching, but actually, if you give it the time and you build it and build it and build it, you won't need those massive spikes that come from open and closing. So that's my rant done.
I love it. Such a good rant as well. And all that with so much class and so much British isms in there as well. Mike, you know, we could go on for hours and hours here, and I'm sure that the listeners here of Youpreneur FM want to know more about you. For you guys tuning in, you're going to go and check out the membershipguys.com blog podcast over there. Check out Membership Academy if you're Membersite Academy?
Membersiteacademy.com.
I stand corrected. Membersite Academy. Links to that and everything else over on the show notes. chrisducker.com/episode182. Mike Morrison, you're a bit of a rock star, man. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I hope I didn't put off too much of your audience with my colonial
See, now you're bringing it up again, which shows it's genuinely affected you. So you guys on Twitter in America, give them our time for the next couple of hours. All right, we'll be back at you again next week. Take good care, guys. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.
Hey, before you move forward with your day, just a quick reminder one more time about the Long Haul Leader Summit taking place November 16 and 17 this year, 2024, in Cambridge, England. This is your chance, along with 100 other entrepreneurs from all over the world, to boost your income, elevate your impact, and build a legacy. This is the live event for entrepreneurs that you need to be at this year, my friend. Because not only are we going to teach you lots of great strategies and processes and systems and all that good stuff in terms of scaling your business, but most importantly, you're going to learn from the best in the game when it comes to making the moves that you need to make in order to be able to go the distance in business and in life. I really hope to see you there. Grab your ticket right now before they're all gone. Longhaulleader.com. Bye for now.